Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
John chapter 14, let's read from verse 19, I believe, to 21, New King James Version. Thank you. Now, look at your screen. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. Now, you see that phrase there? But you will see me. It's significant, and maybe it's not the focus of my message today, but I might touch on it. This doctrine I received directly from the Lord. This one. But you will see me. I received it about 8-9 years ago. He said, but because I live, you will live also. 20. At that day, or if you like, you say in that day, you will know, excuse me, in what day? In what day is he talking about? He's talking about the day in which we will be able to see him. Are we together? The day, that reality of being on earth, but being able to see the Lord. You know, Job said, I will see him with my own eyes and not the eyes of another. Job was afflicted, but he prophesied the day of Christ and said, I will see him. And not, it won't be when I die. I will see him in my flesh. I will see him with my eyes. And Jesus came to declare the release of that day when he said, when I am taken away after my resurrection, the world will not be able to see me, but you that belong to me, you will have a password. Come on, hallelujah. That means you will always know how to connect to the heavens. And believe me, knowing what Jesus looks like should not be a testimony. Because Jesus said, you will see me. And he explained the process to me, but that's not for today. So he said, in that day, you will know. When you understand the secret code to beholding the Father, that is the day you will know. You know, you have heard, but now you will know. A lot of us have heard for years, but we've not been able to lay our full grasp on the reality of the divinity of heaven being contained in flesh. So Jesus said, a day will come, you will have a particular encounter. He said, and then you will know. Now, you will know that I am in my Father, say one. Then you in me, say two. And I in you, say three. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will also love him. And what? I will manifest myself. I will reveal myself. I will give him God encounters. He qualifies for God encounters because of his love for me. Do you see why some of us, every time you talk to some of us, they say, oh, the Lord told me. And for the other person, you may be wondering, how come God always talks to you? You see, there's a reason. There's something God is looking for. And it's in that verse. Now, so we've been talking about righteousness and being in Christ. And I remember I shared with us that the doctrine of Christology, of Christness, the doctrine of Christ, your knowledge of Christ, your understanding of Christ is the foundation block to every other thing in the New Testament. Everything that concerns you as a Christian, starting from the day you give your life to Christ, your restorations, your blessings, your marriage, your children, everything is laid on one block. And what is that block? The doctrine of Christ. Now, I also mentioned in time past, but let me repeat here, that everything that God is doing right now, he has given us a type and shadow in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, Moses was a type of Christ. Do you understand what that means? Moses was used as a model. for Christ. Now, let me ask you a quick question. This is a quiz question, and I won't tell you if there's a prize for it or not. Did Moses enter the promised land? No pastor should answer. Who said yes? Who is bold enough to say yes? Please stand. Please stand. Pastor Bara, please come. We are going to ordain somebody today. Pastor, sir. Sorry, what's your name? Femi. Are you married? Are you married? When do you want to get married? I'll give someone now. Okay, tell me why you said Moses entered the promised land. The Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah came to meet him. He's right. Can we appreciate him? It's not actually new information, Tina. It's not new information. And as I told you, it's not new information. In the Old Testament, you see, to understand the nature of God, one of the components you must understand is mercy. Anu. What's mercy called in Igbo language? Mama, what's mercy in Igbo language? Ebere. What Moses did was a great offense to God. And God said to him, you will see the land, but I will not allow you enter into it. But what do you think was Moses' greatest desire? It was to see that land. In fact, after that time, he died. It was better for him to die. So Moses died an unfulfilled man, despite everything he has done. Until Jesus granted him mercy. The two people that came to Jesus on that mountain, they didn't die normally. Elijah did not see death. They took him to heaven. Moses, his body. An angel prevented Satan from taking that body. That if that body had by Satan, they would have turned that man to another songo. That because his body was filled with, you know what it means to stay in God's presence for 40 days and you don't come out, you don't eat, you don't. All those people that say it's not by fasting, it's because they don't want to. Enter now. Okay, fast for 40 days, then tell me it's not by fast. Fast first. You know what it means to stay away from what mortal men do. This man has a wife. He has children that probably need to go to school and he needs to disciple them and mentor them and discipline them. He left all those things. He had a church of 5 million people. Many of us now cannot leave our church for one day as a pastor. Moses left the people and went for 40 days. He didn't plan for 40 days. But God, you know, the conversation started and he could not leave. He did not go with water. He did not go with food. He didn't plan. He just wanted to go and worship God. And the matter turned to a 40-day journey. And God's presence preserved him. God's glory kept him. Do you know what it means to stand in the midst of fire and you and not smell smoke? That guy was so close to God. He was radiating the live presence of God. When he came back, they used a cloth to cover his face. A mortal man, radiating like the sun. So that glory, the Bible says, is also passing away. That glory that we saw on Moses, that people could not look at his eyes. God said it's a glory that is fading. So what God gave the new man in Christ, what God gave you, Mama, and gave you, Tina, and gave you, Shell, is a glory that does not fade. Hallelujah. So Moses wants to, he longs to see your day. He longs to be like you. Because as anointed as he was not rated as high as you. The day that he saw Jesus, the day that Moses saw Jesus, was the day he entered that land. The day you see Jesus is the day you enter your promised land. Your Canaan land. The land of deliverance. The promise. Zion. The day you see him, he is the way, the truth. The day you see him, even if you are rejected, the day you see him, the day you believe in him, the day you accept him with all your heart, is the day the heavens will open and receive you as one of the citizens of heaven. So the salvation process is so important because it's the beginning of your journey. When a person becomes a child of God, it is just the beginning of a long-term journey. So we welcome you. On Tuesday, some of us here gave our life to Christ, and we welcome you. It is the beginning of what? Of a journey. So please understand that when you came to Christ, there was a fusion that happened. And you saw that in that John, what was that chapter? Is it John 14? You saw where Jesus said, "I in you and you in me." Which means that from today, we are covenanted together. Your relationship with God is a covenant-based relationship. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. Hallelujah. It's a covenant. There's nobody that is standing between you and your relationship with God. Not even your pastor. This is so important. It's foundational and important. So I don't want you to be a member of this church and for 10 years. This church is going to be 10 March next year. How many of you have been in this church for like 9 years? Just wave. Wow, praise God. Very few people. All right. 9 years. So now, I don't want you to be in this church for 10 years. When they ask you a question, the only thing you say is, "My pastor said." It's good to quote your pastor. But what is the Bible saying? So for you to know what the Bible is saying, you have to open it. My agreement with you in this church is only valid as long as I continue to present Christ to you. The day I stop presenting Christ to you, don't call me to tell me you are going. Just go. Say amen. That's tough, huh? But it's good for you and for me. Because some people who are pastors, that's why they went to hell. So when you come to Christ, there are some basic things we need to understand. First of all, let me talk about the power of righteousness. Let's read Proverbs 10:2. Look at the screens. It said, "The treasures of wickedness profit nothing." But what happens to righteousness? Righteousness what? It delivers from death. Righteousness delivers from death. And please understand that in the New Testament, righteousness means confident trust and faith in the person of Jesus Christ. So when a person comes to Christ and says, "Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot be free from sin on my own. I need you in my life. I trust you for my salvation." What the scripture says is that righteousness will be imputed to that person, or let me say, righteousness will be given to that person. Righteousness is a nature, and righteousness is quite different from holiness. You need both. But the only reason I can approach God, in spite of all my sins, and His glory will not destroy me, is because of the righteousness which I have received when I believed in Jesus. Now, it is possible you have heard what I have said before. But do you agree with me that a lot of Christians still struggle with approaching God? A lot of Christians cannot approach God easily, confidently, because you are always in remembrance of your sins and your faults. I was speaking to a Muslim. I believe she was a Muslim by the way she dressed. And she said to me, "We are talking about a particular transaction." And then she said, and I asked her that, "Did you try to confirm the information I gave you?" She said, "It doesn't matter that everybody lies. That it's okay to lie sometimes." So I now picked that phrase, like, "It's okay to lie." And I said, "You are very pretty. You are encouraging me to tell lies." She said, "Hey, it's normal now." So I now remembered what my dad told me when I was growing up, that if I do more good things in my life, more than bad things, God will accept me. So that's what my dad defined as righteousness to me. But of course, my dad was also the first person to tell me that except I am born again, I cannot see the kingdom of God. But he also added something that was not there. He told me that because I was struggling as a 10-year-old boy with the subject of eternal salvation. And I asked my dad, we were in the car driving, and then I said, "Dad," I said, "how can I be so sure that if I die, I'll go to heaven?" And my dad said, "If you do a lot of good things and you don't really do so many bad things, God will receive you." But that doctrine is from Islam. It's an Islamic doctrine. It's not a Bible doctrine. And because we grew up in the north, so I guess that's where he got that thing from. So when I finally became a Christian, I came to him and I said, Dad, I have found it. Ah, he almost beat me that day. Because I was practically preaching to my father. Like, he was so upset. Like, he was so upset. Like, who do you think you are? It's not like Joshua coming to tell me he has found it. Found what? My dad told me, so I read that Bible cover to cover before I married your mom. Cover to cover. Who are you? Took a stone, wanted to mark my face. I didn't know. I was excited. I said, Dad, I found it. You are wrong. It's by faith. Come on, say by faith. Be careful. Be careful who you talk to. Eventually, one day we were alone in his room and he called me and he said, look, he said, son, I need what you have. The day I walked into a Pentecostal church with my dad, because everybody in the city knew him. Everybody. The whiz who knew him. They always, a lot of people were praying for him to be saved. The day I walked in, and my dad said, from today, stood in a church and said, from today, I will follow Jesus. I wept. I wept. I was uncontrollable. I wept. I said, now, you can die. Because the way we were taught is that a man who has found Christ can die anytime. So, like, he's calling, look, if you die now, you are okay. But you should not die when you don't have Christ. Or when you think that salvation is by doing a lot of good things and just telling lies. Bible says righteousness delivers from death. That's how powerful righteousness is. And righteousness is a nature. Come on, say a nature. The same way a dog cannot help but bark. And the same way human beings cannot help but speak. It is a nature. But what I want you to do today is not just to know it, but to believe it. Because a lot of us know it, but we don't believe it. I was sharing the story with the pastors this morning. I saw a video from a group, Spam Tech something, on Facebook. So they talk about cars, mechanic, car-related matters. So the lady, you know, and because they are very, like, very popular and good, so the lady said, made a statement. She said, there are some of you here, bush people, who still believe that your AC, when your AC is on, consumes more fuel in the car. That you Nigerians, here, don't go and say this outside. That even if your tank is on red, you can use your AC. That is a popular, you know, it's a popular belief. When your fuel is low, you turn off the AC. So I listened to her. I said, wow, it was like a deliverance. Like, I actually use my AC anytime. Please pay attention though. I was actually excited. Wow, praise God. Ah, this is coming from an authority. Huh? Now, you love me, but if you are on your way to Abuja at the airport and you hear this is Captain Benga Jaffe, I'll be on flight. What do you call those people? The captain for this, the pilot for this, whatever. Say, sorry, which Benga? Sorry, just call the customer, the air hostess, like, sorry, which way is you? Just bring out my picture. Is it this myself? I want to come down. I know they go Abuja. I know this man, no be, he said, when the pastor going to become a pilot, are you taking us to the kingdom of heaven? No, this we will not land though. You, I not say, he say, is the one, he say, no, say, no, we have. The doors are locked. I said this, I don't want to go again. If it's this man that I'm seeing here, I know they go Abuja. I will check. Because there is something about human beings and listening to authority figures. I listened to somebody who broke the process down and explained that anytime my fuel is on near empty, I can still use my AC. Isn't that a great message? Especially for us in Nigeria. Huh? If you are going out with a guy and he's one say, oh God, don't worry. Your fuel, he wants to impress you, but he doesn't have fuel. So now you can now help him. Now, don't worry. Take me to Magodo. You can sit on. Don't worry, sir. Say, because why? You have the information, right? So that was what I thought. I thought I believed the woman. I was so excited. I rejoiced. It's like the people Jesus spoke about when they first received the message, they rejoiced. the seed that fell by the thorns, they rejoice. Hallelujah. Oh, we are saved. Praise God. There's light. There's light in Karua community. If you don't know Karua, I can't help you. Go and watch. Is it about 12? What's the name of that? Go, buy data. Go and watch it. And subscribe. It takes a lot of effort to make all these things. Some of you just watch. They will beg you, still not subscribe. You will not like, you will not share. Even the one for your church, if you will not like, you will not share. May God have mercy on you. So I took Pastor Ayo. I had a meeting with Pastor Ayo in Ikeja. So after the meeting, Pastor Ayo had to leave. And I said, Agbenga, can you drop my wife at home? I said, sure. I forgot that I didn't have her. So when Sister Tayo came out, I started the car, I allowed the AC to be, it's my pastor's wife. And Sister Tayo, among all of us that are Pastor Ayo's son, she likes me. So today I want to drive her. I even said, no, sit down at the back. She was like, sure, wow, okay, Sha. I mean, I should sit down. They'd be like, oh, I just having fun, you know. I put on my AC. Do you remember a few weeks ago where once you drive past any filling station, you'll be in traffic. Heavy traffic. Demonic traffic. The moment we came out of Ikeja, and as I parked in front of our house in Magodo, I just saw red. Hey, I said, Statile, my fuel is exhausted. She said, didn't you buy fuel? You know, before you marry, you have to be sure who you are dealing with, you know. But she was like, you should have gotten some fuel, like, big boy. I said, Tata, that's not the issue. I'm stuck. And I need to go and pick my children in school. Just say, well, Binga, wawa, okay. Binga, you'll be okay. Eh? God be with you. God bless you. And she turned her back and left. I said, okay, no pee. I was using garage. You know, there's something they call garage. Some of you don't know what garage is. What's garage? I told you don't know what garage. Yeah. I was there. Nothing. Stop on it. We'll go. We should still have like 20 liters. When I came out at 7 up, from 7 up, I saw everywhere stand still. Ah! I said, I follow my entire problem today. I became afraid. I brought out my phone. Google map. Pa! I saw red. To Bagada. I said, these are the situation where people will be robbing in traffic. I started remembering so many bad things. So, and I remember what that lady said. That it doesn't matter. Even if your fuel is on 1 liter, use AC. Turn on your AC. Put it on the highest level. Blow yourself. I remember what she said. You know, I told you it's possible to hear and not believe. That was the day I knew I did not believe that lady. I didn't know. I thought that when I heard that message, I was, oh, glory to God. I'm now in Christ. Until you now go for an event, you now meet Chike. Chike, you remember Chike? You know, you two of you have history. Chike knows you inside out. It's Chike you want to be telling you are born again. You. Chike, you want to tell Chike that you. You can tell that people like, no. You know, there are some people you can't tell that you're a Christian. You know, they know you too. Like, they like, even what your mom doesn't know about it, they know. My sister, when I saw the traffic, when I saw the storm, the way Peter saw it on the sea, I did not know when I turned off my AC. I turned it on. I now brought my glass. I now hid all my phones under the chair. Akitabaya. I started praying. I was thinking about so many terrible things. If my car stops here and these last mile people are not far, these people that will tow it, so I could see some of the other, I was sweating. It did not matter. But the moment I saw Bagada like this, I saw Bagada after Ogudu, I saw Bagada. See, I was panting. Like, okay, even from here, I almost thought of driving to Refuge House. Go and park the car. Take bus to my house. There's a difference between hearing and actually believing. The only way we know is when you are tested. So, righteousness is a big deal. Anybody can tell you anything. Now, let's look at one other thing about righteousness. I think this should be Romans chapter 3 verse 20. It said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Look at the screen. It said, therefore, by the deed of the law, no flesh. Come on, say no flesh. There are people who believe that they are morally upright. Heaven is not for those people. There are some people that believe they are better in terms of character and conduct. They will not make heaven. I came here to tell you, me, I don't smoke. I don't drink. No. You will not make heaven. As you are looking at me, I have never done any bad. There was one man that came to Jesus like that. And he was talking to Jesus. And the Bible said Jesus was smiling. The Bible said Jesus loved him. That means he wasn't lying. Yeah. Everything he told Jesus he was not doing, he was right. He pays his tithe. He goes to church. Some people think church attendance is the closest way to get to heaven. No, sir. Church is important. But except a man is born again, he cannot. That word cannot mean it's not possible. Look at this scripture. He said, by the deeds of the law, that is by fulfilling the law. Don't steal. Is it good to steal? But God said, even if you obey this law, you will not be justified. But there is something else in this verse that is of interest to me. Look at the last layer of that verse. He says, for by the law is what? Now, give me this one in Amplified or any other simpler version. Our involvement with God's revelation does not put us right with God. What it does is force us to fail. This English, you know, some of us did not go to school. Some of us, we are just junior work. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of what? Of sin. I did not know what it meant to steal until the law say, don't steal. So the whole essence of the law that God gave in the Old Testament was to prove to man that he could not be righteous. There were people keeping it, though. There were people fulfilling, and God loved them. But the primary reason God gave them the law was to prove to man that if you can obey all these things in your own strength, you are still not qualified. Give me verse 21. But now, apart from the law, come on, say apart from the law. The righteousness of God has now been revealed. It has now been made known. It has now been made known. This is it. That one you saw is good, but this is the key now. This is the one you need. The kind of righteousness God appreciates. The one that is separate from the law, which has now been made, to which even the law and the prophet testify. When did they testify? Somebody help me. When did they testify? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses, representing the bringer of the law. Moses was the one God used to give us the law. So, time you hear, you will hear things like the law of Moses, right? Elijah represented the prophets. And that's why you will notice that even in the New Testament, they said the person that we usher in the Christ, we come in the spirit of Elijah. Are you with me? Go back to that scripture. The law and the prophets testify. Give me the next verse. This righteousness is given. Hallelujah. Through what? Faith. Through what? Faith. In who? Jesus. To who? To who? Jesus. To all. You may be an imam. You may be a murderer. You may be a prostitute. But if you come to Jesus and you say, from today, I believe. Please understand that I heard does not mean I believe. I give an example from my car. My experience at Magodo. How you know you believe is that you take action. Even marketers, digital marketers, know that we don't like to take action. Taking action, some of you know what you need to do. I will do it. 3 years now. Then you now, instead of doing, you now be praying. Some things are not prayer matter. If you want to start a pancake business, but you don't know anything about pancake. Even if you pray and the prophet told you, this is what will bring you fame and money in life. The prophet has told you. The prophet who told you doesn't know how to make pancake. You yourself that receive the prophecy, you don't know where to buy flour. You now sit in your house. Then your friend's like, but I thought you just came back from the mountain. Say yes. I thought you said the prophet to you. He said, yes. So why are you praying? He said, okay. What did they tell you? They say it's pancake that I need to be selling. Okay. Do you know where how to make pancakes? Say no. Do you know who can teach you? Say no. Do you know where they are selling flour? Say no. Do you know how much they sell oil? Say no. Okay, so why are you praying? Don't you think you should be on your way outside? Go to Mama Preshi in the next street. Mama Preshi, do you know where I can learn how to make a pancake? You are taking action. When you see the word believe, it is an action word. It is an action word that means to turn around, to change your direction, and go in the line that God is pointing to you. It is not simply to say, I believe, I believe. It's not a song. It's not a song. It's not a love song. Listen to me. When you say, I believe, what you are saying to God is, I turn around. I face your direction. That's what it means. Give me that scripture again, verse 21. He said, this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus. To all who believe, for there is no distinction. There is no difference. God doesn't have favorite. He doesn't have favorites. Anybody that comes, he will attend to the person. God will not say, oh, Dangote is here. Everybody wait first. No. Dangote may be important in Nigeria. But before God, you are the same. Isn't it wonderful? That you don't have to wait for some people before you see God. Ah, it's like you are not aware this is Nigeria. Some people will not even allow you. 10 years, you will wait on that line. You will not see God because they have what it takes to ensure that God does not see you. But God is such a merciful God. If you decide to start praying now, and my daddy here decides to start praying, and mama decides to start praying, God will attend to all of you as if you are the only person he's talking to. He will not tell you, hold on, let me finish with Tina. That is what righteousness gives to you. The right to beckon on God's attention as a son. Not a servant. As a son. As his child. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees the same quality of life, the same quality of personality like Jesus. That's what he's looking at. You are the only one who is a sinner. You are the only one remembering your sin because you know what you did. You know where you went to. Even among 5 children, mama. You know, a girl one way know they too listen to you. A girl one way, you know, mama, I just want to make mama happy. But they are all your children. Huh? If somebody sees you shouting on Laura, and they say, anytime mama's voice is high, it's because of Laura. Then somebody thinks that you hate her. Until they find you on the streets and somebody is trying to beat her. That is the day that we know there's a tiger in you. Mama looks very gentle now. You go and touch her child. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, I think, give me 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Quickly, quickly, quickly. You need to understand God's love to understand his righteous nature. If you don't understand his love for you, you can't understand. You will always look at God through the eyes of your tormentors. You will always look at God through the eyes of those who told you to vote for them and they increase the fire price on your head. He said, behold, what manner of love? This, look, extravagant love. What kind of love is this that God has given to us that we should be called what? The children of God. Angels could not claim this.
Yes.
You, with that banner in your mouth, could not claim this. But God looked at you, say, my son. Say, who, sir? I didn't smoke. He said, come, my son. Ah. Ah. Oh, guy, I see his husband. So, I came for you. Jesus spoke to that woman and didn't even talk about her sin.
Yes.
Ah! Yes. Which kind of salvation message is this?
Wow.
Jesus went to the house of, what's that short rich man? Zacchaeus.
Wow.
Jesus did not talk about his sin. It was when Jesus finished ministering.
Wow.
Zacchaeus was the one who said,
hey.
Master, anybody I've offended, I will go back and correct what I've done. If I took money from anybody, I will return it with interest. Jesus did not say you should do it. Abby? You have not met the real Jesus. This Jesus, he will not talk. He will just stay with you. You are the one who say, as I used to follow Chike. No, it's not Chike. By yourself, when you start saying, I don't want to follow Chike again. This chick, what's he even doing? This chick, what's he doing? I want to follow Jesus. Jesus just be smiling. What did Jesus say to that blind, rich, short man? He said, today, salvation. Igbala. What is salvation in Igbo language, mama? Soputa. Isoputa has entered into this house. Jesus sat with him and didn't say anything. They were just talking. He was just ministering to them. Just, you know. Jesus did not say, "Shay, you know you're a sinner." Everybody knows. Including the one that is telling you that I have been fulfilling the law of God from when I was a baby. He knows. Including the one telling you on Instagram, the universe is moving for me. You are blessed. Universe will make you rich this week. If you type this song, if you tap on this song, seven people will call you and they'll give you $1 million. When you finish drinking that pepper water, the person who posted that thing, and you know that what? You are sinners. Everybody was trying to be relevant. The day you are free from relevance and acceptance, your real life will start. The day you no longer feel compelled to put anything on social media so that people will think you are happy. Eh? Some of you didn't block some people because you wanted them to be seeing your progress. Some years ago, oh, God have mercy on this soul. I have committed many sins. I once had a friend, and she told me, "Dashe, you know you are the only one that can see my status." That was the day I stopped talking to the person. Which kind of friendship is this? So I blocked everybody. I said, in my mind, I didn't even know I was that important. I've never heard. I didn't even know you could block. You know, it's a lot of effort. I didn't even know that on WhatsApp that there's a way you can restrict people from seeing. I didn't know. We were just using the thing. We did not know. Until the lady told me that, if I post anything, you are the only one that will see it. And I'm only waiting to see that you have seen. I say, hey, me. This love is too much. Only Masayinda Le Kabara. This one, it cannot work. It cannot work. What is WhatsApp? Delete WhatsApp. Close. What are we using WhatsApp for? Who is looking for me? WhatsApp that I used for 1 year. I did not even know that they can program it like that. I delete the thing. I don't even remember a person's name today. You were. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's do this and stop here for the first service. Are you blessed this morning? It is not enough to know. You must believe. Please, can you ask your neighbor, do you believe? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now, look at me. The requirement for salvation in Christ, hello, is not confession of sins. Hello. As wonderful as it sounds. If you are able to confess your sin, it's good though. But for the first time you are coming to Jesus Christ, you are already a sinner. Because your forefather Adam was a sinner. So you, it's just that you have not gotten the opportunity to steal. There's one man who was the leader in one country in this Africa. I will not mention his name. I will not talk about the country. He will always sit down, put toothpick. Your Excellency. They said this thing. Say, He will not talk. He'll be looking at you. He's not in a hurry. He's not, you know, when you become very old, you just know that life will happen. It's not about whatever. It's you young people that you want to make it in one day. Those old people, they have seen it all. They say, some people are killing themselves. You will shout. You will not come and give you one line. Say, I want to assure you. That's it. I want to assure you. Once he assures you, he's going back to his room. He doesn't owe you anything. He has assured you. You are protected. So, in 3 years' time now, some of you will still go and vote. Vote for a leader that cannot use a laptop or MacBook, that cannot type his own emails. Then that one will be your leader. So which kind of policy will he give you? You are already ahead of him mentally, but you put him there. The only thing he'll give is to be advising you. Young children, don't be in a hurry to enjoy life. He'll be giving you fatherly advice. But you see that country, the country will collapse. But he will give you fatherly advice. I don't want anybody to give me fatherly advice. Repair this country so everybody can put up that scripture. I never know. I've said I will not be talking about these people again. I don't even know how I got to this bus stop now. Look at this. Let's round up. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Now, this sin here is not like as though you are committing sin. The word sin here is nature. Huh? So, sin became a person. Hello? Hello? He became sin for us. That means every time God looks for the identity or personality of sin, he will see Jesus. Hello? I want you to know that sin has been judged. Sin has been judged, though. Sin has been judged. So after now, if you commit any sin, you must confess that sin on its own merit. So when you hear somebody saying sin has been judged, then they do what they like. They don't understand this message. Sin nature has been judged. So if you commit any crime now, that one must be sorted out individually. That's why John told us, if we say we have no sin, we lie and we deceive ourselves. He said, but if we confess our sin, we have an advocate. What the word advocate means what? A lawyer. We have a lawyer, an advocate with God the Father, who is able to what? Plead our case. And the scripture says he is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness. Him who knew no sin was made sin for us. Put up that scripture. That we, those who were the sinners before, may now become what? The righteousness of God in me. There are two things here. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, the scripture says, therefore, through faith, we become justified. The word justified is the word we become righteous. Please don't forget, the way to become righteous in God's house is what? Through faith. Please don't forget. Faith in Jesus Christ. You must not add anything to him. Through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But look at this other scripture. We become the righteousness of God. Which means, in Christ, when we are looking for a definition for a Christ-centered life or a righteous man, a point to you. Because of the nature of Christ. When you have a certain nature, you will not want to commit sin deliberately. So please, this is very important. Do we have any verse in 22? I think that's the last. All right, just stay here. He said that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That word in him is talking about Christ. Which means that as long as I am in Christ, I remain righteous. Was it here I was sharing with us? I think it was on Tuesday where I talked about the Lord saying to the children of Israel to anoint their doorpost, right? With blood. Was it on Tuesday? Uh-huh. And that blood signifies what? The blood of Christ. Are we together? The blood of Christ. And the Lord said, as long as you anoint your house with this blood, he said, death will pass over you. Speaking of spiritual death now. He said, and the Lord also said, once you anoint your house, nobody must go out again. Did we talk about that? Nobody must go. Signifying that when you come into the family of God, your security is only established as long as you remain in him. You remain righteous, holy, acceptable unto God. As long as you remain in him. As long as you do not trust in any other thing as a proof of your acceptance before God. As long as you live under the control and the government of heaven. As long as you confess your sin, because you know that, like David said, before you have I sinned. Not because you are caught. When I discovered these scriptures, I started learning how to become a Christian. It was not by trying not to commit sin. The requirement was for me to live a life of faith in Christ. This simplified the process. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, which means every time I believe God, every time I believe God's word, then I receive credit units, I receive credit points, and those things are called what? Righteousness. As long as I can believe, and the only one that I believe is the man Jesus Christ, as long as I have no other that I believe, that I call upon, as long as I am in him, under the covering of the blood, then he calls me righteous. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for understanding. Thank you because we are chosen in the beloved. We give you glory. Lord, we pray for everyone that is in this meeting and for those who are listening online, that by this word, many will be released from the burden of sin and guilty conscience. We receive the power to live the life of faith in Christ Jesus. And today we declare we are free. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning.